Thank you very much for joining Senator Lautenberg and me this afternoon. Over the past 10 years, farm subsidies have gone to just one out of three farmers, with only 6% of farms receiving more than 70% of that money, namely $120 billion. Subsidy programs have spurred farm consolidation, violated international trade agreements, and still left most farmers heavily exposed to risk. The House of Representatives failed earlier this year to pass a farm bill that reforms these injustices. When we meet tomorrow, the Senate Agriculture Committee will unfortunately follow suit. The committee bill that is poised to pass would increase market-distorting subsidies. It risks retaliation against all of our farm exports because it perpetuates a cotton program that repeatedly has been found to violate world trading rules. Today, Senator Frank Lautenberg and I, along with Senators Orrin Hatch, Bob Menendez, Susan Collins, Ben Cardin, Sheldon Whitehouse, and Jack Reed, are introducing reform legislation that will provide a true safety net for all farmers, regardless of what they grow or where they live. We want to end out-of-date subsidies and provide for a more equitable and less expensive safety net for all American agriculture. For the first time, each farmer would receive expanded county-based crop insurance policies that would cover either 85% of expected crop revenue or yield, or 80% of a farm's five-year average adjusted gross revenue. These insurance tools already exist, but our reforms would make them more effective and universally used while reducing administrative costs and saving taxpayer money. Savings from these reforms will allow us to provide money for new investments. Our bill provides over the next 5 years an additional $4 billion for hunger relief efforts, including major improvements in the food stamp program, our nation's primary safety net for the disadvantaged. It also expands nutrition programs for disadvantaged children in the summer when school meals are not available. The bill invests $3 billion into specialty crop programs that improve research and marketing opportunities for the majority of American farmers that currently do not benefit from farm programs. This legislation also focuses on important environmental and conservation programs by providing an additional $6 billion. These programs encourage farmers and other private landowners to protect environmentally sensitive lands and prevent soil erosion, improve water quality, create wildlife habitat, and reduce greenhouse gases. Our bill expands U.S. worldwide agricultural markets and reduces our dependency on foreign oil by dramatically increasing research and development efforts for cellulosic ethanol and other renewable fuels. Our bill accomplishes these goals and still comes in under paygo limits. In fact, our bill saves taxpayers $3 billion over the 5 years. It also saves the Congress from employing superficial budgetary maneuvers. I've managed my family's 604-acre corn, soybean, and tree farm in Indiana for the last half century, and I've served on the Ag Committee for over three decades. We've made some headway on reform in these years, but more often we have not. This year, we want to make a significant constructive difference. Our reform proposal is more equitable, produces higher income for farmers, increases farm exports, avoids stimulating overproduction, and provides more investment for environmental, nutritional, energy security, and research concerns. It's a privilege to be joined today by my distinguished friend, Frank Lautenberg.
Thanks very much. And Senator Lugar, it's a pleasure to be here with you. We have worked on things together in the past, and we're hopeful that this is a change long overdue, but that can finally meet with an approval by the larger number of the people in the Senate. And I I thank our co-sponsors for helping us to prepare Real Reform. I remind you that I come from the Garden State, that while it's sometimes forgotten that New Jersey does have a farm population, we treasure it, we want it to grow, we want our farmers to continue to produce crops that can get to the market in a hurry, and we're not asking people across the country to subsidize our farmers. The Agriculture Committee, as all of you know, will give us the same farm bill, as Dick Lugar said, that it gives us, has given us every year for the last years. And it's going to, their bill is going to provide huge payments to a handful of farmers who grow a handful of crops while ignoring the needs of most of our farmers. Now, if there was ever a policy that needed to turn over a new leaf, as they say, this is it. We need a farm bill for the 21st century and not sticking by the outdated policies of the last century. We need a bill that creates a true safety net for farmers across the nation, regardless of what they grow or where they farm. We need the courage to take on special interests and reform this antiquated system. Now, I'm proud that the Fresh Act, introduced by Senator Lugar and myself, will do exactly that. Our bill is intended to help every farmer in America, not just a select few, to grow their products and to feed the nation. Regardless of the price of a crop, the current farm bill would give away at least $25 billion of taxpayer money in subsidies. So that means that the bulk of farming that's now done by giant farmers, corporations, rake in record profits. And we still pay them to do that. It doesn't make sense. It's bad policy. It's a waste of taxpayer money. Our bill will phase out these unnecessary payments while expanding the safety net to include every farmer. Our bill would provide, as Senator Lugar has said, free revenue insurance to all farmers. The insurance guarantees that their revenues cannot fall more than 20% in any year, even in years of drought or flooding or pest infestation. Our bill will increase investments in conservation and energy. It would increase our investments in specialty crops and nutrition, food stamps, to help Americans eat healthier foods like fruits and vegetables. And even after all of these improvements, we can still reduce the deficit by $3 billion. So American farmers deserve more, deserve better than the same old farm bill. So we want to scrap the broken, wasteful system, and we want to replace it with help for every farmer in the country. We want them to save green space. We want them to produce the nutrition that the country so badly needs for those who can't afford to obtain it on their own. And last of all, but very important, is we save taxpayers money. So thanks all for being here. And now, if there are any questions, or do you just accept our judgments?
Marine?
Most of our colleagues in the Senate have not fastened on to this particular legislation. They understand it's coming along. The leadership has, in fact, announced it might be on the Senate floor within the next couple of weeks if the markup occurs tomorrow and is successful. We've offered this today so that our colleagues have a choice, and we'll be visiting with them as to the nature of that choice, making the same points to them that we have made to you. I would say candidly, as I've indicated in my statement, I suspect the Ag Committee tomorrow will mark up the bill essentially that has been drafted by Senator Harkin, Senator Chambliss, with assistance by Senator Conrad, Senator Baucus, and the Finance Committee. At least having counted votes around that table for the last 31 years, I suspect that that will be the result. But the floor is a different story. That involves all senators, all states, all Americans, and not specific states and specific crops. And that representation, I hope, will come to a different result.
And why do you think that result might be different on the Senate floor than it was on the House floor?
Let me just give a quick analysis of what I think occurred in the House. Essentially, groups that were attempting to bring about changes in nutrition programs, those who were in favor of more conservation, those in favor of energy expansion in agriculture, those in favor of agricultural development. 85% of people who live in rural America do not live on farms. They're not farmers. And therefore, there was recognition of that. And all of these groups, for the moment, came behind Representative Ron Kind's bill and others who worked with him. But very rapidly within the markup, those around the table in the Agriculture Committee added in all of the above, 3, 4, 5, 6 billion, whatever it took to satisfy the groups. At the end of the day, of course, they were well beyond the budget, the so-called PAYGO we've talked about. And along came Representative Lloyd Doggett of Texas on the Finance Committee and offer legislation to tax certain persons with foreign corporations, thus to bail them out. Now, the bill had absolutely nothing to do with agriculture, but it was useful to bring in to try to get back to PAYGO again. My understanding is that if you analyze very carefully that bill, it doesn't meet those standards, even with Lloyd Doggett's bill, which the president has pledged to veto. So we'll be back to square one in the conference because the props have been knocked out of that situation. I might add, they added all of this in and went to the Doggett bill to save all the subsidies, keep all of that maneuvering as in the past.
Will this bill be brought up at the markup tomorrow?
No. No, it will not be because, if I would just say simply...
Just introducing.
Yes, it's going to be introduced today, and... So technically, our colleagues could say, has it been scored by the proper officials? How do you know these estimates that we've suggested are right? Of course, I could rejoin, how do I have any idea the estimates that the committee has are right? My own suspicions are they're way off. This is magical accounting. But at the same time, rather than getting into a food fight of that sort, if that's the appropriate thing, an ag committee meeting, why, we'll leave this for the floor.
The process is unique. Whether this is finally comes out as a full substitute or an amendment, this is certainly putting the cart before the horse. We think it's a good way to awaken our colleagues and the country to the fact that we are going to save some money from the deficit. We start off there. And then we balance the scales here between those who really need help and those who are greedy for more help. So it's exchanging the needy for the greedy on one part. On one hand, and we're again encouraging conservation. I think our bill will have a lot of appeal. We haven't really circulated for a lot of co-sponsorship, but when people look closely at what it is that we've proposed, I think that we will have a lot more support than otherwise might be expected.
Do you worry about those efforts to build support being complicated somewhat if, as the Senate Majority Leader has suggested, ag jobs is brought forth as an amendment to the bill and that sucks all the air out of the room for discussion?
I think so. Want to respond?
I don't. I just proceed. The ag jobs amendment or that legislation is an important consideration for many of our colleagues. And we may have all sorts of amendments. That's been the nature of the Senate for some time, as you recall. But nevertheless, why we're attempting to think through a sound bill that has at least a safety net for all farmers, includes all farmers, is equitable to all farmers, additional thoughts may come. And I don't reject any of them out of hand. We have all debate them when they come.
Senator, what kind of support have you gotten or do you expect to get from the administration on this
bill? We believe that the acting secretary, Chuck Connor, is favorable to most of what we have to say, but we have not asked him for endorsement. We certainly have followed closely Secretary Johann's testimony before the Ag Committee, which tracks and comports with what we are doing, and there has been really no change that I can tell under Acting Secretary Connor's regime.
What is it that in your thinking keeps establishment agriculture from taking that leap? I mean, there are similarities between your insurance package here and the ACR program, for example. Is it the certainty of getting those direct payments and the LDPs, or the thought that maybe the minority, the farmer who's in the minority here in this equation, can get more than would ordinarily get under a revenue insurance plan?
I think the crops that are in the bill now have been well organized for many years to stay that way. This is a situation in which members around the table are not likely to harm what they think are the prospects or the aspirations of one crop for fear that that might bring retaliation. In other words, there's a sufficient amount of log rolling to keep that which is in play going. Now, this doesn't mean that those involved haven't thought about the day. For example, the push in the Finance Committee, not the Ag Committee, but the Finance Committee, for disaster insurance really comes from the fact that there hasn't been a safety net of this sort for many farmers. Now, I would argue they could have provided it. For example, on my farm, I purchase 85% crop insurance routinely. I've had a failure on one occasion of a soybean crop that was very serious, and without that, we would have had severe losses in that particular year. 85% is not 100%, but it does offer that kind of safety. That's been available, but I've got to pay a premium for that. People wanting disaster assurance don't want to pay a premium. They just simply want that to be there. And frequently, we can argue about this a long time, people farm in areas that are prone to disasters. The weather is perennially bad. But at the same time, that is a way of life. I understand that. I would still say through crop insurance, they have a legitimate way, actuarially, of at least not getting whole, but staying in the ballgame. Now, that's what Frank and I are trying to do, to suggest it's not just those particular crops, but it's also people who have fruits and vegetables, or who have trees, or who have other things on the farm, including livestock. For the first time, we've tried to integrate in our bill a livestock component. That has not been available at all. So my guess is there's a certain amount of discovery might occur here, in which some senators may find that this, all things considered, has a good bit of favorable support.
And recognizing, friends, that there has been a significant change in the culture with the growing fuel and the farms as opposed to food, and watching prices go up substantially as a consequence of that. And here we are. It looks like it matters not. Let's just continue the subsidy program. I think that this can alter the view on things and get us some more support. We have to make the argument, obviously, and I'm confident that when they see our two heavily agricultural dependent states getting together and driving the force, or not really. Thank you all very much. Yes.
Is the bill foreign?
No.
Do you have a CDO for it?
We don't. And so that was a part of my responds to why we're not offering it in the Ag Committee, in addition to the fact that it would not do well. The other aspect is we don't want to be ruled out on points before we even get to the merits of the argument. And we, our estimates, I think, are reasonable, but it is not scored, in answer to your question.
Thanks, all.
Just a quick question. Have you introduced this before, Ian, or have you introduced this before, and what happened? And, I mean, what was the reception like, I should say, from Farm Bureau and other...
Well, I don't think either one of us have introduced... this bill, or really the so-called Title I part of it, which deals with the subsidies, the crop insurance in this form before, I've offered perennially, or I should say every 5 or 6 years, comprehensive legislation. We had better success 2 farm bills ago with Pat Roberts as a partner on the House side in the Freedom to Farm Bill. That was a very important breakthrough. Prior to that time, on my farm or others, we could not plant any more corn or beans or whatever was covered at that particular point because of rigid New Deal standards, in which the whole idea there was to curtail supply, try to get price up through that. Now, obviously, that was inappropriate by 1996 or thereabouts, but even then, it was not an easy go. Now, we went through months of markups, conference, so forth, just to get the Freedom to Farm. Now, last time around, I was chairman of the Ag Committee at the time. We were marching up to a potential reform, but as you recall, Senator from Vermont left the Republican Party, so did the majority leave the Republican Party, so did the chairmanship leave me. So the agenda changed, and so did the format of the program. But from time to time, we go through these situations. I think, in fairness, legislation I offered last time that was, I thought, pretty far-going reform, got somewhere between 35 and 38 votes, I can't recall, but nowhere as close to 50 as a substitute for whatever it was we were passing at that time.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for coming.